Valley Oil Company presents Captain Midnight. Captain Midnight, brought to you three times each week at the same time by the Scully Oil Company, Scully jobbers and dealers. You know, one thing most of us dread is being caught on a cold night with battery trouble. Being stalled with a car that won't start because the battery's dead. Here's one thing you can do to help prevent battery trouble. To help keep a good battery good for winter's heavier strain. That is to use the right kind of winter oil. You see, some kinds of oil turn thick and heavy like glue in cold weather. This makes your car harder to start, takes more out of your battery. And then, when the weather turns cold, your battery's apt to give out. But the right kind of winter oil lets your car start quickly. Helps save your battery. The wise thing is to change to a free-flowing winter oil. And when you change, try Skelly Tagoline Winter Oil. It's the fast-flowing kind you need for winter. And yet, it's made to stay there and take it mile after mile without thinning down to keep you from adding the extra torque you need if you use ordinary oil. To save your battery, to save your motor, to save your gears, and to save on oil bills too, change to Skelly Tagoline Winter Oil and Gear Lubricants today. The boys at any Skelly service station will give you the right weight for your car. And they, they're on their toes. They'll save you time, too. Now, you boys and girls, tell Dad what I've just told you about Skelly Tagoline Winter Oil, will you? He'll be mighty pleased to know how Skelly Tagoline can help save his battery. And he'll be surprised you know so much about cars. So tell him about Skelly Tagoline Winter Motor Oil today. And now to Captain Midnight. After Chuck Ramsey mysteriously disappeared, his movements have been traced by Captain Midnight. It developed that Chuck met another boy while eating breakfast in the lunchroom in the Ridgeville Airport passenger station. The boy was Frank Crane, a young student pilot. He asked if Chuck would allow him to go along for a ride in Chuck's plane, and Chuck generously agreed. We now find them flying at 2,000 feet, several miles north of the airport. It's almost 8 o'clock in the morning. Chuck is sitting relaxed at the controls, and young Crane is in the seat beside him. Listen as Frank says,
"Hey, have you ever done any stunts in this ship?"
"No, I haven't.
But this ship could take them."
"Well, I tried to get my instructor to do some with me,
but he never had enough time."
"I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll gain a little altitude, and we'll do one."
"Oh, gee, Chuck, that sure would be swell.
What would you like to do? A vertical turn? A spin? Or a loop?"
"Well, gee, don't let's start in with a spin. I hear that's liable to make you awful dizzy."
"No, it won't. Not if you keep your eyes inside the cockpit."
"Well, anyway, let's try a loop. That'll be good enough."
"Okay. Now we've got enough altitude now. Oh, say, you'd better buckle your belt."
"Oh, gosh, do you have to do that? Some of the boys were telling me that the centrifugal force would keep you in your seat."
"It will. But that's only if you make an absolutely perfect loop. If you don't have quite enough speed, you're liable to fall out of your seat when you get upside down."
"Oh, gosh, that wouldn't be so nice."
"Well, I guess we'd better be sure and have our belts buckled, because I haven't made a loop for several weeks. All right, now, I'm going to dive down to gather speed."
"Oh, boy, look at that needle go up."
"Yeah. I was flying at 170, and now we're up to over 200. Once you get to 250, I'm going to pull her over."
"It looks like you're diving straight down at that road."
"We are. The man who taught me to fly told me to pick out an object like a road and dive down at it. And then when you get ready to pull up, if you keep on a line with the road, you're almost sure to keep on a straight line all the way around."
"Hey, and then when you get over on your back, you pick up the road on the other side, huh?"
"That's the idea. Say, you catch on quick."
"Hey, gee, look at that airspeed indicator. We're up over 250 now."
"Yeah, and up we go. Oh, hold on now."
"Oh, boy, gosh, we're absolutely upside down."
"Yeah, but we're coming over, and plenty fast, too. I have more speed than necessary."
"Hey, and look, there's that road. It looks like we're flying right down it."
"Yeah, I think I managed to keep in a straight line on that move."
"Oh, gee, look at that needle go up again. Why, we're almost up to 200 already."
It doesn't take very much time to get up to speed when you come out of a loop. After a while, that comes natural to you. You wait and see. Where do you want me to go?
Oh, look right ahead, Chuck. You see that house down there on the left of that road?
Uh-huh.
That's our place. Would you mind diving down so I could wave?
Oh, of course not. Here we go.
Oh, gee, look. Mother's out in the backyard already, hanging up their clothes.
She must get started early.
Well, I'll say she does. About 6 o'clock. Look, she's standing there looking up at us.
You think she knows it's you?
Oh, sure she does. No one else would be diving down at her like this.
Well, we're about low enough.
Can I wave out the window?
You can try, but I don't think the wind pressure will let you do much waving.
Oh, it won't be necessary. She can see me.
I'll turn a little bit. There. How's that?
Hi, Mom. Hi. Hey, there. She sees me waving.
Well, up we go.
Oh, it was sure swell of you to fly me out here. Do you have to get back to the airport right away?
No, not for a couple of hours. And then I've got to land and go out and see a friend of mine in the hospital.
Well, yeah, you said you had to do that.
But in the meantime, I don't have a thing to do. Say, if that's pretty country to the west, we might make a short cross country.
Oh, gosh, that would sure be swell if you can do it.
And no sooner said than done. Here we go. Country out here.
Oh, it sure is, isn't it? Dad and I used to come out here hunting a while.
It ought to be good for that, all right. It's plenty rough. Uh-oh. Look down there.
Well, what do you see?
It seems to me I saw an airplane.
You mean on the ground?
No, in the air. Now, wait just a second.
Hey, look. That looks like a pretty good landing field down there.
Yeah, that's what I noticed. It looks like a big hay field.
Oh, it's probably just a wild pasture. I don't see any farms around.
Oh, there. I was sure I saw a plane.
Oh, I still don't see it.
Well, it's pretty hard to see a ship between you and the ground. Now look straight ahead of us, on the other side of that field.
Oh, hey, now I see. Why, it looks like he was landing.
That's what I think he's doing.
Well, I don't know why he'd land in a place like this, unless he was in trouble.
We'll go on down and take a good look at him.
Just somebody out on a hunting trip.
Well, that might be it, all right. But if it's somebody in trouble, well we've got to help him.
Oh, I'll say. Hey, maybe we better sit down.
Oh, I will if he thinks he needs me.
Well, he's landing, all right. See, he's almost on the ground.
Yeah. And he's coming to a stop.
Hey, what kind of a plane is it?
Well, that's what I'm trying to make out. I can't tell for sure, but I think it's an open cockpit monoplane.
Hey, you're right. I'm sure you're right. At least I can see it's a two-seater.
It looks almost like the same type the Army uses for attack ships.
Well, we can't tell from here whether it's a monoplane or a biplane.
No, but we will in a few seconds. I'm going to side-slip down over him and get a better look.
Oh,
is your belt buckled?
Yeah, I haven't unbuckled it since we did that loop.
Okay, here we go.
Oh, boy, look at that. You got her in a vertical side-slip.
Yeah, it's a swell way to lose altitude. Especially when you want to look over the ground.
See, that plane's taxied over to the side of the field. See, look there, it's coming to a stop.
So I see. And the pilot's sitting up there looking at it.
Hey, look, that's strange. There isn't anybody in the rear cockpit.
That's right, there isn't. Well, we're down low enough. I wonder if that fella is all right.
Oh, he cut his switches. See, the propeller stopped turning.
Yeah, and he's jumped out of the plane, too. Look, it looks like he's waving to us.
Well, he's motioning for us to come down and land, don't you see?
You're sure right. Maybe he does need help after all. Okay, I'll glide down to the end of the field, and we'll turn and come in.
Well, how do you know which way to land?
Well, you notice the direction the other ship landed in, but I'm not going entirely on that. Now, do you see the leaves of those trees over to the side?
Well, sure, I see them, but I can't tell anything from them.
Well, their underside is turned up, and I know the other fellow was right. He landed into the wind.
Gosh, there's sure a lot to learn about flying.
Now, you'll pick up those things in no time. All right, now, I'm turning and coming into the wind.
Gee, we're awful low. Aren't you afraid that left wingtip will get into the ground?
No, I'll bring it up in plenty of time. Now, this is what you call a side-slip landing. It's the best way to come down when you don't have much room.
Well, sure, but there's plenty of room in this field. Hey, look, Chuck. Hey, that is a monoplane over there.
Yeah, I can see now. Well, we'll turn and taxi over beside it.
This fellow's standing next to his ship waiting for it.
Oh, I sure can't figure this out. Doesn't look as though he's in any trouble.
Well, maybe he's out of gas.
No, I don't think so. Because his prop was turning over after he was on the ground. Well, here we are.
Hey, are you going to cut the switch?
No, I'm turning off the gas. It's a better way to cool the engine off.
Well, should we get out?
Sure. Let's see what this fellow wants.
Hey, look. Look, that fellow's coming over to meet us.
Yeah, so I see. Hello there.
How do you do?
Are you in trouble? Is there anything we can do for you?
No, I don't believe so. What are you fellows doing around here?
Why, we're just joyriding around. Oh, my name's Chuck Ramsey, and this is Frank Crane.
Hi.
How you do? My name's Hilton. You kids are pretty young to be joyriding over rough country like this, aren't you?
Why, I don't know.
So why did you pick this part of the country for your joyride?
Well, I'm to blame for that. I told Chuck this was pretty country out this way.
I see. You say that you, Ramsey, are the pilot?
That's right.
Do you have a pilot's license?
Well, of course I have.
Let me see it.
Sure. Hey, wait a minute. I don't mind showing my license to someone in authority, like an inspector of the Bureau of Air Commerce, but not just anybody who thinks...
Well, just take a look at this.
Oh, gosh, look at that badge.
All right, that satisfies me. In just a second, I'll show you my license. Here you are.
Thanks. Transport license, you see. Let me take a good look at you. Identification picture and description certainly fits. Do you own the plane?
No, I don't. You see...
Now, look at the plane's license.
Well, gee, Mr. Hilton, there isn't any license on the plane because... Well, you see... Well, I can tell you...
No license on the plane? You know that's against regulations. Very well, Mr. Ramsey. You and your friend Crane are under arrest.
Well, what can this mean? The plane Chuck is flying was captured from Ivan Sharp. Will Hilton believe the young pilot's explanation? What will happen next? Tune in Wednesday to Captain Midnight. Now, here's an interesting question. Do you know why it's so important to use the correct grade of winter oil in your family's modern car? Well, sir, the reason it is so important to use the correct grade of winter motor oil in our modern cars is this. Modern cars are built with very close clearances in the bearings. In other words, bearings nowadays are built to fit closely and accurately. So if you put oil that's too heavy in those close-fitting bearings, it won't let the engine turn over easily, especially when it's cold. That means slow, hard starting. It means poor lubrication. It means excessive wear in your car's motor. So here's what to do. Ask your Skelly service station man to tell you what is the correct winter oil for your winter driving. He'll tell you about Skelly Tagoline Motor Oil, the wonderful oil that is free-flowing yet tough, too, to protect your motor. Your Skelly man will know the correct grade of Skelly Tagoline Motor Oil for your car for driving in your weather. Ask him about it tomorrow. And don't forget to tune in again Wednesday, same time, same station, for further transcribed adventures of Captain Midnight, brought to you every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday by the Skelly Oil Company, Skelly Jobbers and Dealers. Until Wednesday, this is Don Gordon, your Skelly man, saying goodbye and happy landing!